Hello, Dreamers. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And this is our 50th episode of The Course of Course. And thank you very much for being on this journey with us.
Yes, it has been a journey, hasn't it?
We're going to talk about kind of how far we've come in 50 episodes. This podcast was born, really, I think in August, September, October of 2014. So, you know, we've been on this for a couple of years now. Almost completely a two-year anniversary. We started in the fall of 2014, and we are still going strong today. And I got to say, it has helped me so much. And I know this is probably just a vanity thing for you and I to kind of just talk into a microphone about the course. It's been sort of life-changing for me, maybe for you, to be able to continue on in this journey and to share it with those who find any interest in hearing how we're doing with the course.
Yes. I think being into documentaries, I've always just felt like I'm on a journey. Anyone who's just coming into the course like we had and wants to try and figure it out with us, you know, join our ride.
It's sort of like that daily study and practice of the course that we hear about so much. When we first came into this, I remember hearing, oh, this is so easy, but yet so hard at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's easy because all you really have to do ultimately is forgive. Wow, if it was that easy, we would all be doing it every day. I think it's becoming a little easier for us because we've been practicing it. Mm-hmm. But it's that practice that makes you perfect.
Yes.
And every day there are JAFOs, just another forgiveness opportunity that continues to present themselves to us.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's basically been in the work environment. That's always been a bit of a bugaboo for me, trying to work out how to see people in the most loving way. The course has helped me do that. It's sort of like the course is reframing how I see people and how I interact with them.
That's beautiful.
And without that, I would not be the person I am today. Not that I'm like the most amazing person, but I kind of am. It's just slowly unfolding for me.
It was pretty wild realizing that the world's not real and that this is our movie script and everyone's on our payroll. Like, that still is undoing my mind. Like, I still have to remind myself that stuff every day because otherwise my ego would just take over.
And we were talking about how mind-blowing it is to remember that God didn't create this mess.
Right.
So from a Christian Bible perspective, we always hear in God created whatever. No, we've always been with God. God didn't create the sun and the moon and stuff like that. God created love.
Yes.
And we're all part of God and we're all love. And we're all in some weird dream remembering, oh, right, I'm not really separate from you. But it just takes a while to wake up from that dream and go, oh, now I finally get it.
Yeah, today I was listening to the course because I pretty much always do, and they were talking about how we're different from each other, but we're not separate.
That is a really important distinction because we're around people all the time, and I was talking about the work environment and a few people in mine who I was having a struggle saying, okay, you're God too. Because when you look at somebody and they're causing you pain or, you know, they're hurting your ego or whatever, it's hard to remember that. That is so true that they are just different from us, but we're all together. We're all one. We're all part of God.
I feel like the ego lives in that difference. I mean, that's the expression of form, you know, whether it's a buttercup or a daisy or a rose, or whether it's Janine or Stephanie, or whether it's that car, like we're just all these forms of differences. But when we think of that holy mind and that perfect love extending out through the projector and that it's in all of us.
I love what you said, that the ego is in the difference. The ego lies in the difference between us.
Yes.
And our ego will say that you're different from me. That person's better than I am. I'm better than that person. Fascinating stuff. I was watching the U.S. Open. Don't always do that. This is the U.S. Open for golf.
Thank you. I would have said tennis.
Right, of course. And I was riveted by it because golfing is not one of the things I've been actively pursuing, but I've always sort of been on the fringes of it. I thought it was a fascinating game, but it's also something that I really didn't have in my background. So I was watching it, just seeing how the players worked, because I've always been into sports. I'm a big softball, baseball person. But to watch the mechanics of golf has always kind of intrigued me. So I was watching the U.S. Open, and I'm seeing the person who ultimately won. And I thought, wow, I wonder what's going through his head right now. Mm. I wonder if he's saying, I'm better than everybody else. Mm. Look at me, I'm number one. It's that whole competitive thing. I think sports are fascinating, and I've been right into it. I'm going to go, and our team is going to beat that team, and we're going to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
It's so ego, completely.
Divide, conquer.
And then there was just the NBA basketball finals, and Cleveland finally won. You know, being an Ohio person, I'm thrilled for Cleveland because Yay. It doesn't really happen very often in our state. And I thought, wow, I was watching the news footage, and everybody's like, yay, jubilant and stuff. We're the best. We're the best. I'm like, well,
for today,
not really. I mean, big picture, we're all the best. We as human beings tend to constantly separate and determine who is better than whomever on some sort of bizarre caste system, some hierarchy that does not exist. But our ego is so strong that we make it exist in our mind.
I was thinking about special relationships and how the ego uses those as well as a distraction. Because the second we're engaged with someone else, it's almost like when two or more are gathered, you're going to be in that ego mind frame, unless you're both aware and are dedicating it to the Holy Spirit.
Like Art and Persa.
Yes.
That's like, to me, that's like my ideal. Gold standard, you know. Yeah. That's what I want. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about, oh, yeah, I've got these two kids, and they drive me nuts, and one of them's going to go to college, and I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. And the thought bubble above my head was, thank God I didn't go down that road. And it doesn't mean that it's better that people don't have kids. It's not what I'm saying. But for Janine, in this particular lifetime, I've taken a break from having a bunch of kids because it's basically my DNA this time. It just wasn't going to happen, and I'm so thrilled that I wasn't going to follow down the road, right? So I'm hearing this, and I'm empathizing, like, oh, I completely understand. But in my mind, I was like, I am so lucky. I'm sure having children is amazing. I have a cat. It's enough.
Yeah.
I have never been happier as a human being than I am at this moment in time. I don't need a relationship. I don't need children. I don't need any of that validation.
The job.
Well, I don't need the job or the title. I'm still into the money thing, you know, not completely there. But I just feel lucky that for whatever reason, at least in this moment in time, I don't have kind of like that other stuff that is causing a distraction for people.
They say an outcome of studying the course is that we can have a happy dream.
Correct.
The dream is getting happier for me, too.
I think it's because we're looking at it differently. I wouldn't say that my life is hugely different. Mm-hmm. I think I'm now looking at things in a way that it makes the stuff that I was focusing on before completely meaningless and sort of disappearing.
That's wonderful.
Right.
Empty and meaningless.
Empty and meaningless, right? But the stuff that I still have meaning for, I'm putting it in the right emphasis. I was at home in Cincinnati recently, and my father wanted me to go to church with him. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and I sort of kind of went away from it. It was pretty different than really my path. So I'm sitting there, and the priest is giving his homily, and the thing that blew me away, and I remember thinking to myself, I got to mention this on the podcast. The priest started talking about, you know, everyone. He was very cool. He was a newish priest. I'd never seen him before. It's rare, at least from my experience when I was growing up in the church, that you would find a priest that seemed like he was able to talk to you in like normal terms. Usually it was very Jesus-y and very Bible-y and stuff.
And they seem like grandpas.
Yeah, well, this man was a little older, but he was just like, okay, listen, folks. He was talking to people. It wasn't like pontificating. Uh-huh. And the thing that struck me is he said, here's the situation. It's all about forgiveness. And that's the moment I thought, wow. Now I'm looking at the Catholic Church in a different way. Because when he started talking about that, I thought, I can get into this. I can come every week if he's going to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
Totally down with it. The thing that I also thought was fascinating, when I grew up in the Catholic Church, it was still old school and we had to dress up for church. We had to be very respectful.
Yeah.
So I'm there with my dad in the pew. And I'm looking around, and I was overdressed. People there were in flip-flops, and t-shirts and shorts. And
wow.
I never would have known that before. And even the altar boy and girl who were up on the altar doing, you know, the, uh-huh. the ritual stuff, they were in flip-flops. And
wow.
It was like, whoa, maybe I can do this now. Maybe I can. Because it pulled me away from what I used to think of that old Christian kind of theology
yeah.
to more of, let's just all gather here, find an hour mm. to give to God,
mm-hmm.
and let's really talk about forgiveness and seeing how we can be better people to ourselves and each other.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was the best church service I'd ever been to. So, you know, I told my dad, if I, you know, when I come back next time, I'm totally going with you.
Great.
Because I know it gave him joy to have one of his children.
Definitely.
I have three other siblings, so he has four kids, and none of them are going to church with him, but I'm more than happy to do that for him.
It's interesting how HSJ moves.
Absolutely.
And even though it might not be the true forgiveness process, just being treating each other as if you're all Jesus is a good way of going.
There's a part in the Catholic Church Mass where they actually offer communion. So you would go, you've probably seen this, but you would go up to the front and the priest would give you basically a wafer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can drink a little of the wine, which that wine is not Napa Valley, Sonoma Valley wine. That's, I don't know what that is.
Fox wine.
So I don't, because, you know, I haven't been practicing and it doesn't make any sense. It's just a ritual anyway. But what I really thought was fascinating is there is a lot of families with a lot of young children, and they were all doing it just like I did as a kid. And I saw this young girl who was kind of being carried by her dad, and I thought that was me. That was me years ago. My dad would carry me up there. And I thought, interesting that at least that part of Catholicism has continued to move on through generations.
Mm-hmm.
And they're finding some use for it, some meaning in it, that I can't deny. I mean, it really has changed the way I look at things now, because I walked out of that church thinking that was actually uplifting, and I don't ever remember that. And the last time I was at that particular church was at my mom's funeral.
Mm.
So it was like, oh, I don't know if I want to go in there. It was perfectly fine and lovely. And
it's a beautiful story.
It really did. I turned the corner, I think, with Catholicism.
Or at least his version of it.
Or my version of it. My father's always been very much a Catholic, and I sort of kind of eschewed it because I thought, you know, I've been through that, been there, done that. I didn't find value in it, but now I feel kind of enlightened that I do have value now in it.
Great.
Yeah. So that was a huge learning for me, a huge takeaway from my time in Cincinnati.
It's like family gets created and community gets created.
Well, I remember at my mom's funeral, I was so impressed with that church community because they were so kind and giving, and people would volunteer their time to participate in the Mass.
Mm-hmm.
People in the community would send over, like, this may be a Midwest thing, but they would send over meat trays and cheese trays.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they do it here.
Afterwards.
I have no idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just so lovely. It was all free of charge. Everybody was there for you.
Wow.
I was very impressed. I will say that.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I'm becoming a little more appreciative of the town that I grew up in. I remember when I went to grad school, the idea of going back to Cincinnati was like not happening. That was like, been there, done that. I've got better things to do.
Yeah.
More things to see. But I'm coming to the realization that every place is perfect if you just see it that way.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. For me, I've always thought any place I live, that's home.
Absolutely. I mean, because we've lived a couple places together, certainly on the East Coast. And I would say that they were home at the time. But I also think there's that huge time element that made it home. I couldn't go back to Virginia Beach, a place that I love dearly, because it's not home anymore. The people that I was with aren't there anymore. It's like you create your own communities wherever you are. And if I would stay in Virginia Beach now, it would take me a while. I'd probably create my own community again.
Yeah.
But it's just not there now.
I was thinking about the body because my knees were hurting. And I thought, oh, you know, Gary's given some really good examples of how HSJ helped remove some of the pain. So if I have arthritis, I wonder if I can remove the pain. And then I thought, well, maybe the pain's good because it's reminding me that it's an opportunity for forgiveness. And then I thought, oh, yeah, because, you know, I'm always thinking of situations or, you know, like events or thoughts or interactions with people. It's all kind of a projected thought wave of needing to practice true forgiveness. It's never really been, oh, I'm in this body, therefore this whole stuff I've been making real And it's the body that I need to let go of. It's the body that's a form that isn't true. And so maybe through the knee pain, it's helping me remember, like, it's not just out there, but it's right here. Like, it's you, girl. You need to give up this because you don't need it anymore.
I like this line of thought, so let's explore a little more. When we were in San Diego or La Jolla or something last August, we were at a Gary and Cindy talk, and we, for some reason, I don't know, we were outside in a tent, and it was easily the hottest day I've ever experienced in my entire life in Janine
Body. I won't forget
body.
That one.
Won't forget that one. And we sat there and we had fans on us. It was just miserable. Mm-hmm. It was just miserable. And Cindy and Gary didn't break a sweat. And I remember in my mind thinking, look at this. These are people who don't identify with their body.
Mm-hmm.
They did not have the same experience as the 50 or so people that were sweating so badly. It was so uncomfortable, and they were just like cool as a cucumber, especially Cindy. I've never seen that before. It was nice to kind of view it in person.
Yeah.
It's like, how were they able to do that? Nothing affected them.
Vibrating at a different frequency.
Yeah, and Gary had talked before, and I think we talked about it before, where he was at the Cincinnati airport, and he fell down, and he cut his face, and he didn't feel any of it.
Yeah.
People were like, oh my God, you need to go see a doctor. He's like, what? I'm good.
Put some Band-Aids on it and send me packing.
You know, I volunteer at the USO, and I talk to a lot of people there on my shifts, and somebody was talking about how they were in theater, so they were in Afghanistan. And they didn't realize they were shot.
Oh.
And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, I don't know. I just didn't feel it. It's like, what do you mean you didn't feel it? He's like, well, you know, sometimes when things are chaotic, your mind is focused on other stuff. Getting out of there, helping your friend or whatever. So your mind just isn't registering it. It's your mind. It's all about your mind. So he said he didn't realize it happened until he was with his friends. And they went back and he looked down and he was bleeding.
Yeah.
Literally didn't feel it.
Interesting.
Fascinating stuff for me.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm always interested in people's ability to transcend their body while in it.
Yeah, it's like a split mind,
mm-hmm.
which is what this all is a split mind.
Well, pain is a fascinating thing because for a while I was having really bad headaches. And once I had it, it's like my mind made a decision. Oh, you got a headache. You got a headache. What are you going to do? And I was, oh, I got a headache. You know, it's that repeating the same thing over and over again in a loop.
Making it real.
Uh-huh. But there have been times where I may have had a glimmer of a headache. I just ignored it.
Ah.
And then it goes away.
Yes.
So it's just practice. Like, Okay, this isn't something that's important to me. But even something as simple as stubbing your toe, that hurts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I just stubbed my toe. This is really... Having something like in your face like that, that takes a lot of practice mm-hmm. to be like, whatever.
And it's going to hurt, but it's like we can pull the energy off, tune into HSJ, put, you know.
Correct. Channel. And not focus on it.
Right.
Focus on something else.
Get a glass of water and move on.
She's like, I'm good. I've been practicing that. Like when I do something, you know, every once in a while we'll run into furniture. Maybe it's just me or a wall. And then you get bruises and stuff. You're like, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
It's sort of like practicing. Okay, I don't know what that was. It didn't hurt. I'm good. Everything's good. If I can convince myself just using words all over again like a mantra, it does help.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of words like a mantra, I picked out some of my favorite sayings from the course that I've had around my house over the last 3 years. Just my favorites because these have really made a difference for me in grounding the course. One is, I am the light of the world. That is my only function. That is why I am here. I am not a body. I am free. I hear the voice that God has given me, and it is only this that my mind obeys. Peace to my mind, let all my thoughts be still. That one I sing like a chant. And I invite people to take your favorite sayings and repeat them like a chant, like a song. It's kind of fun. You are Christ, pure and innocent. All is forgiven,
all is forgiven and released. That's my favorite one. I don't know. Is it in the course? It's definitely in the Gary book.
Yeah, definitely from Gary. I don't know. I am one self, united with my creator, at one with every aspect of creation, and limitless in power and in peace. I am one self. This one I say in the kitchen with my hands up to the air. I am one. I am under no laws but God's. I see only the laws of God at work on this. Oh, yeah. I am innocent and nothing has happened. The Holy Spirit knows what I am. I am awakening in God. And then my last one. This holy instant would I give to you. Be you in charge, for I would follow you, certain that your direction gives me peace. Those are my top favorite
ones.
Well
done. It does help to focus in, to have these kind of mantras or these sticky notes or mm-hmm. however you choose to put them. They could just be like a little song in your head. For those who aren't as interested in focusing on the Course in Miracles, actually the text itself, because it can be overwhelming for people, and that's completely understandable. I tend to look at a lot of the lessons, because sometimes the lessons give me a little bit of a encapsulated version of what I'm looking for. What I love about the Course text itself is it's such a great way to sit down at the end of the day and kind of say, okay, I'm just going to read a couple chapters, a couple pages, whatever. It's really good. Sometimes the lessons themselves, because it's about exercising your mind, can be a little overwhelming. It's like, I don't have time for that, but I'm going to read a little of these beautiful words that are written. Mm-hmm. The more I read it, the more I realize how poetic and beautiful that Jesus actually channeled through Helen.
Mm-hmm.
And how amazing it is, even though from somebody, a beginner, let's say, who opens the book like we were, it was just so overwhelming. That was the issue for me. My ego was like, what? I'm not going to deal with this. This is too much. It makes no sense. My ego started making a story about it. And now my ego doesn't do that anymore.
But we also read to you. That yeah. helped.
Well, afterwards. But when we were first introduced right. to the course 20 years ago in Virginia, that was the issue. It was just too much.
I agree.
Our egos just weren't there.
Yes. Yeah. It seemed like a foreign language.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah, I don't think it's a foreign language so much to us anymore.
Not at all.
To me, it's more like a friend. It's like, oh, hello, friend.
Completely. Oh, gratitude. I was thinking just, you know, grateful that Jay did come back and Helen was the receiver and that Artin and Persa came to Gary and Cindy do talks and just the whole community. I feel like this is a real blossoming time around the world with the course. I got to see Maria Felipe and Cindy talk a couple weekends ago about the power of decision, and Maria is fluent in Spanish, and she was so wonderful. I feel like she's around, you know, our youthful spirit.
Our youthful spirit.
You know, talking about dating and just like real life things like we do, bouncing off each other, and mm-hmm. like she's a girlfriend, and I'd never met her. But I just fell in love with her, and I thought, she's going to be spreading the course all over Latin America.
That's amazing.
And, you know, Bruce Rawls, and even David Hoffmeister, who I've never really paid too much attention to, but I know he's big in the movement, to Marianne, to just, like, everyone all coming together, and we are supported in our journey. We all want to wake up, and we're all helping each other.
I think the course community is becoming larger as we speak, although I'm sure it had a number of people before we even got into it. Maybe it's
thousands,
just because we're a little more focused on it now.
Yeah.
But I find such comfort in the fact that there are so many people that are sort of following it or awakening to it, or even if they aren't really doing the Course in Miracles per se, just the people who are listening to us blows me away. It still blows me away. I mean, people will say to me, oh, yeah, I listen to your podcast. What? You listen to us? Because
yeah,
I'm still like 2 years ago when I'm thinking, who's going to listen to this?
Mm-hmm.
Who cares about this stuff? Well, we do. And we're so grateful that other people find some value in it. But on that train of thought, I do want to say, because this is our 50th, one of the people outside of us that I feel has been such a joy to get to know and such a positive in our lives, and it's definitely helped us getting the word out on this course podcast, is definitely Mike Lemieux. I don't know how to hug you on on a podcast, but if I could, we would definitely do it.
Yes, we would.
He's just such a joy to be around. We've been around him a number of times. Even the small things, like putting course snippets on Facebook or on Twitter, is so huge for me. I get such a thrill when I see Mikey on those.
Yes.
And he's so pure about it. I mean, this is a pure practitioner
oh, yes.
of the Course in Miracles.
Yes.
And if it wasn't for him, we might not have been able to get as close, I think, to the inner circle of Gary and Cindy Renard. Even though we might be closer in proximity, he's the one that kind of helped us get a little closer, kind of spiritually and just personally. And that's been a huge asset to us. I can't say enough about Mike Lemieux. If anybody wants to read Dude, Where's My Jesus Fish, please do it. It's hilarious. It's great. It is such a fantastic introduction to Art and Impersa.
I call it the greatest hits.
The greatest hits of Art and Impersa. The greatest hits of Disappearance of the Universe.
And we also want to include Gene Bogart from the podcast.
Absolutely. We've listened to every one of the Gary and Gene podcasts a number of times. They have been huge. We've both did it sort of like in a marathon at times.
Oh, yeah.
Where we would just listen to them over a course of a number of days in sequence.
Yep, I did them back to back.
Back to back, absolutely.
You did them way before me.
So helpful. Mm-hmm. So completely helpful and uplifting. You have all helped us so much on our journey.
And Alex, forward. Alex Marchand.
Alex has been great because
graphic novels.
His stuff blows me away. The thing I like about it, not only is he a visual person, but he really is a bona fide genius in my mind. He's able to take complex kind of thoughts and put them in a cartoon cell. Wow, that's mind-blowing. Completely mind-blowing.
His book is The Universe is a Dream, The Secrets of Existence Revealed. Or if you are more of a left brain person, The Universe is Virtual, Discover the Science of the Future. You can find those on Amazon.
And please, I mean, huge recommendation for the Alex Marchand graphic novels.
And he's also putting those in a video version right now. He's got the audio recorded and he's going to pull the artwork in. So
I have no doubt it's going to be mind-blowing and amazing. Yes. And well done aesthetically.
Yes.
And also to Jackie.
Jackie, the 24th hour. We love Jackie.
Jackie.
Laura Jones and the study group.
Absolutely.
All study groups. Give a shout out.
All study groups doing a tremendous service for those of us who are seeking the Course, seeking Jesus, and seeking to get back to God. Jackie Laura Jones has a study group in the Los Angeles area. If any of you are traveling to here, we would love to see you. It's every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Certainly, you can go to her website. You can certainly reach out to us, and we can direct you to her. She's a fantastic opportunity for all of us to be in one room, being around somebody who I feel is so enlightened. I love Jackie's energy. I love how she brings it down to a real life perspective.
Her website is the 24th hour.
24th hour. Fantastic. Please watch all those. You can listen to them if you choose. You can watch the videos. They're fantastic.
Bruce Rawls is a really good one.
And Bruce Rawls. I look forward to getting to know Bruce a little better. We're in different cities, but I'm hoping that we will find a way to get into the same universe.
That would be sweet.
So to all those we've mentioned and those we may have forgotten because we're getting a little old, thank you so much for directly influencing us and making our experience, certainly with the Course in Miracles, or in our life, so much better and so much more enriched.
Understandable. So we can all wake up together.
You know what? I think it'd be great if we wake up from this dream and we all get together and just have a fantastic party and laugh. One of my greatest joys in life is to laugh. And I just think it would be so great to laugh with these people.
We'll all be in oneness. We'll be in the cosmic laugh.
We'll all be together. One big laughter. I agree.
That's it.
All right. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for being on this journey with me on our 50th podcast.
And
thank you, listeners, for hanging in there, for reaching out to us on our Facebook post, for reaching out to us in any way you can. It means so much to us. Thank you so much again for everything. And thank you, God and Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Good night.
Good night.